Welcome to the Claims Game Podcast with Vince Perry. Get all the tips you need from insurance claim advocates and professionals and grow your public adjusting career to the next level. And now the commercial claims advocate, Vince Perry.
Welcome back to another episode of the Claims Game Podcast. Super excited about this one. Again, we are here live. All right, not totally virtual anymore. And we've got a good friend of mine, Xander Diaz, is here with us. He is the owner of Nationwide Appraisal Group, also known as NWA, also known as Niggas With Attitude. Right, hopefully I don't get canceled for that. But we're going to really talk about appraisals and just the world of appraisals, but also I want to get into the life of Xander a little bit and how he's come up in the industry. Fellow Miami guy, bro.
Damn right.
You know you're a Miami guy when you say bro.
Bruh. Or you talk with your hands.
Or you talk with your hands. That's true.
Either one is going to be going to tell you right away, hey, bro, or the hands moving a lot.
I love what you're doing because you're specifying what you're narrowing a niche down to a niche. I think it's very important because everybody's always like, you know, you learn this in marketing. I'm always learning about marketing and sales and different things like that. And everybody's always just like, well, I want every kind of customer. I want every kind of client. I want everything of everything. But you can't do that. You have to get down to the niches. They say the riches in the niches.
You asked me that actually one of the first times we met. What is your target market? I said, anybody with a home. And then you said, well, you need to be more specific. And that was kind of like, you know, just, hey, we are appraisals. And that's what I think is our niche and what, you know, helps public adjusters or attorneys get claims resolved.
Well, the other advantage to that is, I know that we're going to get into it, but you do appraisals in Florida and you also do appraisals in Texas. But the fact is, as an appraiser, you can do an appraisal anywhere in the country, correct?
Yep. Correct.
You don't have to be licensed in a particular state in order to do that.
Correct.
Because I've told people before, people always ask me, oh, does the appraiser have to be an adjuster? Does the appraiser have to be? And technically, the appraiser could be Anton.
Competent. That's the word.
But do you want, no offense, Anton, do you want Anton to be handling your appraisal? No, you don't. You want somebody who knows the business, who knows adjusting, who knows how to put together an estimate, so on and so forth. So I think it's great. I think it's great that you narrowed it down to something so specific.
It's worked out. I mean, being a PA, you know, you kind of figure out what is maybe not problems, but what are some areas that they can use help for? And that is something, you know, cash flow is definitely important. And when you can get a claim resolved with a good result at the end, I don't think it's, you know, it's a no-brainer.
And you're a licensed public adjuster, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I think it's also good to know that Florida, and now Texas as well, I was explaining to you while we were talking before, is we're starting to use the appraisal process a lot more in Texas. I'm sure you obviously understand that the appraisal process has always been pretty great in Florida. But what is the risk of always going to appraisal is, of course, the fact that it's binding. So right. If you screw it up in appraisal, you screw it up forever, you know? And I do like the fact that it's starting to open up in Texas a little bit and starting to get something going there. But I wanted to get into sort of how you started.
Well, it was pretty much 3 years ago.
No, you started before that. You told me. So you've been a public adjuster since 2017, right?
Correct. So the whole understanding of this industry was writing estimates first. Hurricane Irma had come around, and Irma was, you know, the eye-opener. Hey, you know, stop sitting on the sidelines. Start getting your feet wet and getting, you know, into this a lot more, learning and understanding niches that you only learn from experience, not reading a book or, you know, watching a video.
Right.
And then at that point, you know, after so many estimates, so many trials and tribulations with the insurance company, you learn that there's more than one way to resolve a claim.
Mm-hmm.
And appraisal was something that caught my attention. And we're here now, you know, with the company that specifies in specifically in appraisals.
Well, you've got two things going for you. In appraisal, you know how to put together a killer estimate.
Correct.
Because you've been estimating claims for almost 10 years now.
Correct.
That's all. You were adjusting claims and you were estimating claims. Pretty much that's what you were doing.
Yeah, right? That's it.
Because there's a lot of public adjusters out there that don't know the first thing about putting together an estimate.
Yeah. Correct.
And the thing about appraisals is, and the second thing, well, the first thing is in appraisal, you have to know how to, you should know how to put together an estimate, but most importantly, you better know how to comb through an estimate, especially if you're going to get named as an umpire. Like, you have to know the ins and outs and every specific line item of that estimate.
There's risk in not doing what you said is combing through them, closing coverages that they might need later on, closing coverages that there's an AOB open on. There's definitely a risk to that. So,
Super complicated.
yeah.
The other thing you have going for you is that you're good looking, bro.
It's a beard. It's a
You're good looking,
beard.
you're personable, but we were talking about it. The appraisal process is very, it's very relational based.
Yep, it really is.
Super. Like, you have to be, your appraisals are going to go much better the nicer, the kinder, the more you get along, the more popular you get in that whole little arena. And if you are trusted to even be put on other people's umpire list, as even if you're just doing appraisals for the most part, but you are trusted enough to be a straight shooter even on both sides, dude, in the appraisal world, it's huge.
It is, and it is a big thing in appraisal. It's not really a short-term game. I like to think about it. You're gonna see that appraiser again on another one. So you don't want to burn a bridge and just win. You want to be a straight shooter and try and play that fine line of being as fair as possible. Obviously, you do have a client to take care of, but that there is a reputation that you gotta uphold yourself and play the fine line of being a straight shooter.
How do you do that? Who's the client? Is it the public adjuster or is it the homeowner?
It's tough. I mean, I always throw it to the homeowner. The homeowner is, at the end of the day, the person that we're trying to quote unquote indemnify.
Identify.
Everybody knows that the homeowner has one home and they're not going to feed you more than one appraisal. So you do have it is a complicated situation. It's not just an easy one to go about.
So when the appraisal award is presented and you guys are somewhat in an agreement, obviously you want to run it by the homeowner before you sign off on anything. Are you speaking directly to the homeowner? And I'm asking you these questions because it's mostly public adjusters that are listening. Are you speaking directly to the homeowner? Are you speaking to the public adjuster to speak to the homeowner? Does it depend on a claim by claim basis? How do you normally do that?
I don't necessarily speak to the homeowner much about it because it should be a little bit more, unbiased. I don't really report to anybody as far as what the award is. Now, I do gather information from if it's the homeowner, if they've done repairs, if they've already replaced whatever it is, if the PA has other news or other information that I need to know as far as AOBs that are open. For example, an ALE bill that has not been paid yet and is still pending. So I think that is what I rely on my information and make sure that before I sign the award, I have everything I need in order to, leave the homeowner in a good position. What we just spoke about, if you're gonna leave coverage B not appraised, you're doing a service to the homeowner. Now, if you're gonna appraise it, you better make sure coverage B has everything that needs to be under coverage B or C or D. Otherwise, you're gonna put the homeowner and the PA in a bad position.
So you are like straight up appraiser. Like, you're not even, you are the appraiser, you're the licensed appraiser, you're the expert, you're the professional. It's between you and the appraiser and no one else
Yeah,
for the most part.
I try and stick to that as much as I can.
Yeah.
Obviously you have some unique cases,
Sure.
but that is my mindset going into each appraisal.
Yeah, see, I am the more the mindset of the public adjuster, and I'm here to coddle my client. I'm doing the best I can. And if I have an offer on the table, I'm gonna run it by the client. Hopefully it's good enough and we're good to go and we'll settle it. But it's different. You're right, it's different. I'm handling it differently. And I handle my own appraisals when we're able to appoint ourselves, and we and that's I just obviously run the same way of doing it. I'm sure I'm gonna get crushed in the comments now for people who are like, well, you're not doing it right. But I see what you're saying. That's awesome. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you
Because
don't.
I've had appraisers come to me and just be like, why are you even running it by the homeowner? This is between you and me. And I'm just like, well, still, it's my client, so I want to make sure everything's okay.
No, definitely. Definitely, the number at the end of the day, a dollar amount is going to fix the repairs. So that is very present. If you have all the information you need, as far as receipts, invoices, AOBs, open direction to pays, stuff like that, you should be able to make a good enough decision to make the homeowner happy.
Yeah. It's tough though because it's binding. That's it.
It is binding, and that is that's why it's not. It's everybody thinks that they can just pop off and do appraisals, but appraisals are a little bit, they're complex in that
They are
sense.
complex. Well, then tell me, I'll get to a success story. Tell me, have you had a time where you settle the case and the homeowner was like, "What? I can't believe it. What is that?
Most definitely. Unfortunately, it's
That's
that's a Miami in there,
a
and it actually played out just like that. It's a cast iron clean. Unfortunately, these are the things you go through to learn, and hopefully they don't happen again. And I don't think it will, but cast iron clean, and it ended up going to umpire, and the umpire brought in a specialist, a leak detection specialist, to find out where the leak is going through. I already thought that was a little bit odd because it's probably his buddy he's bringing in, and it should be disinterested parties. There should be not be any, collusion there.
And usually that stuff's already done beforehand anyway.
Correct.
Or it's done in the appraisal. Sometimes it's done in the appraisal process, like the before the umpire.
Correct. There was already two plumbers that had already dropped cameras down the stacks. They figured out what was going on.
One said there was no damage, another one said there was damage.
Correct. And the insurance carrier's plumber was a work product, so we cannot see the video, we cannot see the report.
Oh,
So
not even the appraisers can see it.
not even the appraiser can see it. No, I was not allowed to see it.
Were you the PA on the two?
I was not the PA, I was just straight up appraiser.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
And the opposing appraiser had it, he wouldn't give it up to you? Isn't
he
he
had a
supposed to?
report, he did not have the video. He just had the video of the homeowner getting his plumber to drop the
They
cameras on the stack.
probably didn't record it, that's why.
For probably just sticking to their guns and
Yeah.
not looking to cough up the money. And it was a big property, so that maybe that had an effect into it. I wouldn't say it was a major factor, but w long story short, there was this not the best outcome for the homeowner. And when it goes to an umpire, you only need two out of three people, two out of the three parties in the agreement to sign the award, and it's a close case. Whether or not you give all of your Spanish lingo or your bitching, and no matter what it is, you're gonna, if you don't, there's not really anything you can do to battle that.
So the umpire did not agree to trench.
That is correct. That is correct. He.
Did he go with a reroute option, or he didn't agree at all that the cast iron had to go?
He agreed to replace the bathroom, which is a different tile than the entire house, on top of the fact to not trench the entire property, which is where the cast iron went. And the award was,
That's ridiculous.
$70,000 to $80,000 less than what I was looking for. Yeah. It was USAA.
Yeah, they're
Maybe
rough now.
we should cut that out, but yeah, USAA.
It is what it is. It wasn't USDA's fault. It was the
Yeah.
umpire's decision.
Yeah, exactly.
So he agreed to do a repair under the bathroom and connect it with the main of the house, which was still the cast iron.
Correct. Correct.
You don't get to talk to these clients again, do you? Because
Well,
one would assume that he's had another backup.
to show the kind of appraiser that I am, I did not charge the client anything. I walked away clean and said, "Hey, you're not gonna pay me anything. I genuinely wish I would have done a better job. I wish I would have done
What do you think you would could have done differently? Looking back.
I looking back, I definitely would have had another plumber present. Maybe talk to the
Present. I've
random.
done that before.
Correct. Correct. Correct.
I've brought the plumber with me. The appraiser was not very happy.
Speak to the panel. I say, "Hey, panel,
I
who is
just
it?" Right. That
brought
is something
him.
that I probably would have done, but
Yeah.
learning from that mistake, maybe bring somebody that everybody can agree to, and I have no issue paying that bill myself.
So did the umpire bring the leak detection and it was just his decision and that was it?
Correct. That is correct. And that's where things got a little bit
You were a little
over my
late.
head and kind of oh not it took a turn for for me to be on the defensive, not on the offensive side.
Right.
So, what at that point I was kind of hands tied behind my back, And then the result, like I mentioned, it was signed by the OAA as fast as possible, signed
Right.
by the umpire.
Let's
So
see, that's like so shady. I'll ask you off air who the umpire is. I'm dying to know,
I will let you
because
know.
that's messed up.
Yeah.
Because even then, like I just signed an appraisal award now, and I like the award, and I kind of pulled that tactic. I sent it in signed, like
Yeah,
within 5 minutes.
that's
But you know what the umpire did? He's like, "Hey, other appraiser, take a look at it and let me know also."
Wow.
Which I think is fine. I mean, I wasn't against that,
Yeah.
you know, because I've had it done to me where it's like the whole signing thing, you know. And I wasn't really doing that either because I thought it was a fair number as well. I thought it was fine. And again, I run it by the homeowner's like, "Yeah, let's take it. It's all good to go." But that's some like super shady tactics there, man.
It was,
It's
and
really
I.
weird. Umpires are not normally like that, but that's why it's so important to have a good umpire list.
No, it. I mean,
What's the first question you ask when you start to get into it with the appraiser? I'm always just like, "Who's our umpire again?" I'm like, "Who is it again?" Just so I can know. Like, I see this is not going well.
yes, that is literally the first question I ask, and just to make sure we're at least
Who
he
is this
knows
kid
exactly
again?
that I'm not agreeing with what I'm hearing. Maybe he can change his pitch. Maybe he can change his approach, but picking an umpire is definitely very important.
Xander, have you ever had an appraiser try to basically reevaluate the entire estimate and the entire, basically all of the coverage, and try to argue a significant line item like tile floor?
That the coverage was already opened? Of course.
I've had that
Of
done.
course, of course.
I
Roost.
had the appraiser go to Home Depot. I swear to God, we had to schedule another inspection. He's like, "Hey," because they were like white tiles. And it
Okay.
was what kind of claim was that? It was a water damage claim. It affected the kitchen. We had damage to the tile, and that tile ran throughout the entire house. Super legit
Yeah,
claim.
very like general, basic white
Basic.
tile.
It was basic. I think it was like 24 inch. I can't even remember this. It was like basic white 24 inch tile. But we all know tile, each slab is unique, you know. And even if that tile's been there for longer than a couple of years and it's been walked on and all that, good luck. Go ahead and find that exact same tile. It's still not gonna look
If it's
right.
from Miami, they're probably throwing a couple of buckets of Fabuloso on there
For sure.
and wipe
Oh,
that out completely, not
like they
eggshell
cause
white.
floods actually in there. Dude, I had a buddy of mine, his mother-in-law was staying over and he has laminate flooring into his rental apartment, and his mother-in-law came and started cleaning the floors like a typical Cuban woman does. And he's like, "What are you doing?" Like, she was just dumping so much water in there.
Ay,
Yeah, that's just a typical Cuban thing. This is how they clean the floors, how we clean the
ay,
floors. It's
ay.
just
That
like
is.
a lot of water and a lot of Fabuloso cleaner.
Yeah, I don't know what the English term for that is, but we call it
Sounds
Fabuloso.
fabulous. So this guy literally, Xander, he went to Home Depot, bro. He went to Home Depot or a local tile shop, and he thought he bought the exact same tile. And he called me. He's like, "Hey, I've got the tile." I'm like, "Okay, let's go back out on the property again." And as soon as he laid it down, it was like a sore thumb. I started taking photos. I'm like, "Are you serious? Are you serious?" He's like, "Yeah."
Wow.
He's like, "This is the same tile. It's the exact same tile. It looks the same." I said, "Dude, we're going to the umpire." And the umpire looked at it in 1 second. He just looked at the guy. First of all, the umpire called me. He's like, "Typical of this guy." That's the other funny thing
Oof.
about the appraisal process. Reputations spread fast.
That's literally the truth, and you need to make sure your name is squeaky clean.
Yes. So the umpire looked at it like in 1 second, and yeah, we got on the floor. It was pretty easy. But they had paid it already. That was my point.
That happens a lot on no-name storm roof claims, and they're just trying, putting weather reports and putting this and putting that. And they're like, oh, there was no weather. They already paid for the roof. Why are we?
I didn't even think that was allowed.
I guess it's
Nor, and it's like, it's technically allowed because you are technically reappraising the entire
right.
loss. But it's not really very common.
I
If
mean.
it's already been paid for, it's already been paid
Those
for.
guys, to me, they seem to be maybe desk adjusters that have leveled up to be appraisers, and they
Could
just
be.
kind of take off the wrong hat, and they don't put on the right hat, and
Yeah.
it becomes, it's good to get it out of the way early, is what I feel like, so we can kind of move on from it, or just figure
So,
out.
I've told a video before on one of my past videos about just having the wrong umpire. And I'll share his name with you after as well, because I would never have, I took him off immediately. And he's pretty well known.
Oh man.
I had him as an appraiser.
Okay.
And I was probably doing this for, I don't know, 5, 6 years or so, not too bad. Had him as an appraiser, super cool guy. It went great. We agreed super fast, and I'm just like, awesome. And he's like, hey, you want to put, you know how it always, you put me on your own part list. Put me on your, all right, cool. I'll put you on my own part list. I remember telling my boss at the time, Richard, at Key Biscayne, I'm just like, hey, I'm putting this guy on my own part list. He's like, are you sure? That guy? You want him on your part? I'm like, yeah, man, it was great. We had a great experience. It went fine. And he's like, okay. Next one comes around. We agree to him. I wondered why it was so such a fast agreement, but we agreed. We go in, supply line break. And man, there's things that I forgot what I had for breakfast, Xander, but I remember these claims like it was yesterday. Supply line break, and the supply line ran underneath the floor to the island.
Okay.
So in order to replace the entire line, we had to break through the floor, and it was pretty cut and dry. A plumber went in there and actually did a repair already, and it was easy coverage, but we were still missing. They didn't want to pay for a lot of the cabinets. They agreed to the floors and just a lot of other stuff. But the big ticket item in that claim was definitely the cabinets. They were super high grade cabinets, beautiful granite countertops, and we were disagreeing. The appraiser was a complete jerk. Didn't want to paint more than one coat of paint. He got mad at me because I missed a couple of missing walls. Like I was trying to inflate my estimate. And I'm like, dude. And it was just, I'm like, let's go. We're going to the umpire. We go to the umpire. And the umpire agrees to a bunch of stuff, but doesn't agree to any of the cabinets except for one box cabinet.
Wow.
I literally called him. I'm just like, did you make a mistake? Because the cabinets were probably upwards with the countertops. We're talking, I don't know. I don't remember the exact number, but it was definitely in the 20s. It was like
25, 30 grand, yeah.
super nice,
Wow.
and he didn't include any of it, basically none of it,
Yeah, taking that chunk off of your award is it's a big deal.
amongst the other things that he took off. That was one of those where I had to call the client, and it was one of those conversations where it's like, yeah, it did not go the way we wanted it to go.
Yeah,
And I called him, I'm like, I'm taking you off the list, I'm never choosing you, and by the way, I'm telling every other appraiser as well about how this experience was, and I even put it on YouTube, but I didn't say
better to say his
anything.
name. Yeah, those are bumps in the road that definitely
That's the risk.
lean out your umpire list into a lot less people and to a lot more people that you can really,
But what's
confide
funny
in.
about appraisal is that people are always afraid of appraisal because it's binding, but how often does it really go bad?
Very, very little.
Very
Very
rarely.
rarely, yeah.
It's always like what I love about appraisal, it's always two competent dudes or a woman that
Right.
we get together and we're like, we're not really with this whole other
Cat
side.
and dog fighting.
Yeah, we're like here to try to figure this out,
Yeah.
you know? And then when you agree on an umpire, I mean, for the most part, the umpire is going to find a number that, quite frankly, both sides are going to be like okay with. Or, I'm not admitting too much stuff, one side or the other will just say, I can't sign off on that, but that's fine. It is what it is.
Correct. The
You know what
term
I'm
that I like
saying?
to use, I didn't want to fall on the sword, so they'd rather give it to the umpire and let the umpire, take it from there. And that's why I like appraisal. That's why I think appraisal is very valuable. I mean, I think it's, it provides a different way of getting claims moved. Not just dormant, not just sitting in somebody's bin and just waiting to get back to the top of the list. So it's a very good, and effective solution.
What happens with me is that, yeah, you go back and forth with a desk adjuster, you just get nowhere after a while. But
There.
now with both sides having to agree, that's annoying too. Here in Florida, both sides have to agree to go to an appraisal. We used to just demand appraisal and they had no choice.
Get it done, yeah.
Now it's both sides have to agree. I had two appraisal requests over the last couple of weeks that both of them were like, nope, not in
Rejected.
agreement. We're not doing it. Let's keep talking. It's like,
Yeah.
why are we doing that?
And it just makes the claim, just drag on and ultimately, we're not really being affected. But it's the homeowner's the one that has to sit there and pay a higher premium and probably take out a loan to fix whatever repairs need to be done at the time,
Potentially.
whatever they are.
Well, give me a success story. War story? Now give me a success story. Come on, give me like 800, 1,000% more than the undisputed.
Hurricane Sally, there was a
Sally.
yes, in Pensacola.
That's, oh, I was thinking Sandy. Sally.
Sandy, we were talking about Sandy before. There was a church, a Baptist church, in Pensacola. They had initially paid, somewhere like in the 30s or 40s range. So, just imagine it's a pretty big church. You have all the pews, you have this stained glass, you have enormously high ceilings, shingle roof, and they were probably between the $30,000 to $40,000 range after deductible, obviously. And the award came out to be at about 390,
390.
$390,000. Yeah, so that was probably, that's up there with one of my good war stories.
And how did that go? What was the reason? Why was that? Why do you think that was just? First of all, let's answer the question for those that don't understand why. Why was it so underpaid? What did you notice in that one?
I think the detail and I think the field adjuster was overwhelmed with the amount of
Wait.
work that needed to be done to the property. I don't think it was really seen and inspected and assessed as it should have been. Not to mention, probably overwhelmed with claims as well. Probably had, 15 claims that day or 5 claims a day, for the whole week and was probably trying to get in and out. And it's a big church, it's a
Yeah.
big building, big structure, high dollar amount. So when it's a high dollar amount, people kind of
Gets
start to,
complicated.
yeah, they start to shake a little bit. So that was a, like I said, it's a big shingle roof. You can't really deny it. It's probably 80 squares. You can't, 80 squares times whatever the squares are per shingle. That's what you're gonna have to give the number at. On top of the fact that it has very unique, there
Stained glass
was,
windows,
yeah,
other cool
there
stuff.
was a baptism bathtub inside of the church. So those are
Unique.
unique things that you probably don't see in Xactimate, maybe you don't see on estimates every single day. Long pews, you don't see them every single day in estimates. So I think that was part of the main reason why it was underpaid.
You have to take a lot of bids, different stuff like that.
Those were and the bids were high numbers. Were not, it wasn't cheap stuff. So that definitely played a role in it, I feel.
I remember Irma. I went to an inspection. It was a friend of mine's house, and I remember they were like just that was the first storm in Miami in
05, 12 years.
05, 12 years. And I remember they were just pulling everybody, the insurance company were just pulling everybody off the streets. I remember I met some dude, he comes out with his girlfriend, he's in sandals and socks, and he's got like a McDonald's cup, and he sees me scoping it, and he's looking at me, he goes on the roof and he starts taking
What
photos.
in sandals?
And he looks at me, oh yeah, roof and sandals. And he looks at me, he's just like, dude, can you send me that scope? Can you send that to me? I said, sure, of
Or it's
course. I
Cassidy.
got it all in here. I ain't gonna miss nothing. But that reminds me of that $30,000 to $300,000. It was probably just some schmuck off the street that doesn't know literally nothing that they pulled off because they were just overwhelmed with claims and you need more adjusters. And they just like literally they send those Indeed ads and stuff like that, like become an adjuster, and they handle everything for you and you go out there and you don't know anything.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the insurance receives a report and scope of damage back. But I mean, how true is it? How detailed and in depth is it? And that's, to the insurance, it's doing a disservice. They're paying the premium.
Yeah.
They're not paying. Florida's not cheap to pay for insurance. It's up there in the dollar amount. So, it was a very good success. And I mean, beyond being a church or whatever it was more about me winning and making that turnaround was very, was good for me, good for the home, good for the insurance, obviously. So
What's your process like, Xander? What's your estimating process like? We got a lot of people that watch that they put together estimates. They're always trying to get better at estimating. I've got one guy coming on where he's like, that's what he wants to learn for some reason. Like most of the young kids that come on board, it's more like sales, 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 and I'll teach you how to adjust. And he's just like, no, I've been a public adjuster for a while. I just want to know estimating. But like, what's your process like when you walk into a structure like that? Like, what is it for you visually? Like, are you doing a walkthrough first? Are you photographing first? Are you starting to scope out? Are you sketching by hand? Are you using a like a Matterport? Like, what's your process like? Your estimating process?
Well, in like conceptually, I'm always trying to learn. I don't think I even know it all. I'm trying to always keep an open mind and learn from each estimate that I write or each scope of damage that I do. Now, obviously, in depth, I have a DocuSketch, which really helps. That's a new tool that really puts things. It's like Matterport, but
Yeah.
a little bit smaller, not a big briefcase.
Is it always DocuSketch or it depends on the loss? If it's smaller, you sketch it yourself or do you always go to DocuSketch?
It depends on the loss. It depends on the loss. I usually diagram myself, but on a bigger loss, you're gonna need to get a lot of detail that is not gonna be in a residential home. So that is the main thing. I personally like to walk the property first, make sure I don't miss things, and maybe take pictures of it first, and then follow up with my scope room by room, or wherever the damage leads me to. If it's only in the kitchen, if it's wherever the damage goes, that's where obviously I'm gonna go back and scope again. I'll probably take pictures more than once, and it's a little bit over it's overdue, but it just helps me make sure, I capture the right angle, the right images of the overview of the property, of where, if it's just in one room, if it's a continuous ceiling, continuous paint, if it's like an open floor mat. Those are things that, it can be seen from different angles, and it helps somebody on the other side that had never been to that property see it better.
Yeah, I always take a lot of photos.
Yeah, pictures are
I always take like two or three of the same thing.
correct.
Yeah.
Correct. It might be a little bit, like I said, it's overkill, but you can just delete them.
Yeah,
You know,
exactly.
it's not a big
Do you
deal.
have like a report format? Like when you submit an appraisal, I don't know, what do you call it? An appraisal report or
Package.
yeah, you have like an appraisal package?
Yeah. Before I get to the inspection, I like to, like I mentioned earlier in the talk, I like to have necessary documents. What does that mean? If, if there was any kind of mold assessment done, if there was any kind of
Yep.
remediation done, those things help me understand things before I'm even there. So when I'm there, I have a little bit of an understanding or visual understanding of what I'm going to be walking into. Obviously, once I get there, I do my own thing. I have my own way of handling the loss. But it is definitely good to have correct documentation and full documentation to be able to p piece it together, once you're there finally assessing it yourself.
Xander, you don't have to give me the specifics, but do you, as an appraiser, do you charge a flat fee or do you charge per hour? Or does
That
it depend?
depends. It depends. That's like a famous answer, so I don't want to give that very cliche answer. There is a flat fee. If there is something special of the appraisal, then I will, for example, the USAA cast iron claim. If I gotta bring in somebody that an expert that I'm gonna pay for, I might talk to the homeowner and present them something that say, this is gonna help your claim and it's gonna
Yep.
help you guys in the long run. But typically it's a flat fee.
What made you make this move, dude? Like, what made you? I want to know more about the company now. So, like, you were what, 3 years ago, 2021, I'm
Yeah.
assuming, or 2020,
2020,
2021,
yeah.
and you're like, okay, this is sort of what I want to do. What happened there?
I mean, I'm sure you have many stories of being, it's a cat and dog fight with desk adjusters, right?
Yes, you
It's
got tired of it.
literally,
You're
it's
just like,
like,
I'm sick of
dude,
it.
you guys are just chopping me off at every angle. I try and be creative with you and trying, just do the right thing by the homeowner. And ultimately it gives PAs another way of getting claims resolved. That's
But in a state that at the time we would basically name ourselves the appraiser on every claim, what made you make that move?
I mean, you have a lot of PAs that are,
Inexperienced.
inexperienced
But they
in
could just
this
name
field.
somebody in their company.
I mean, you
I'm
want
just
some.
curious where your head
No,
was
of
at.
course, you want somebody that knows what they're doing and that at least has experience in that field. You don't go to a hand surgeon and ask them to open, open your heart and open your chest and start doing open heart surgery.
They're still a surgeon, but they're not focused on, they're not specialized in that.
Correct, correct. So you want to be able to have somebody that at least has been in the battlefield and been able to represent themselves, or if it's other PAs. And that's, I've noticed that was a big need in this industry. There's many other needs in this industry, but I think that is a big one that is helpful, it's efficient, and you can provide quality work.
I remember the first time State Farm told me, "Nope, you can't be the appraiser." I'm like, "Wait, what are you talking about? Look at the appraisal language. Disinterested. What is that?"
Yep.
Called every attorney, like, "What is this?" They're like, "Yeah, that's it. You can't do it."
State Farm probably started that,
Yeah.
and
But I think it
there.
was like that throughout the rest of the country, always.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it. It makes sense.
You have a massive financial interest in this claim if you are your own appraiser. So it does make sense. It is logical, and it does play a role.
Yeah, and I like the way you treat it. You treat it very independently.
I try to be independent, and I usually get what I need to get for my client, which it's what they're looking for. How I get there, I don't think that's you don't ask the watchmaker how he makes a watch.
Right.
So build it and I'll buy it.
Right.
So that's pretty, that's my approach.
Well, Xander, I'm excited. Xander, and by the way, it's Xander, short for Alexander, Nationwide Appraisal Group. They are the official appraisers of Elite Resolutions and myself and my company, and try to get you on everything that we can.
Appreciate that.
Because it's just what he specializes in, and I think that's fantastic. So if you want to know more about Xander, make sure that you go to, where do we go? How do we get in touch with you?
NationwideAppraisalGroup.com.
Okay. And also, if you go on the Commercial Claims Advocate website, there is a link and there's a landing page to all the information for Xander, so you can get in touch with him. Xander, what states, real quick? It's Florida and Texas is yours, what you specialize in, but
Correct. We can move around. North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
Colorado, any of those states are something that we can get it done. It's not a no. So anything in those four states, Florida, North Carolina, Texas, and Colorado, if you guys got anything, that's where we'll definitely be there ASAP.
It's a huge need. It's a huge need.
Yeah. I mean, cash
Because
flow is king. You wanna be able to produce, move claims. You don't want to have them dormant, you know?
well, like for us, we're licensed. We have active claims in Florida, Texas, North Carolina, Colorado, Illinois, Connecticut, and California. So the issue we run into there is we don't have anybody there.
Correct.
Like even for me, to find somebody just to inspect the loss, it just automatically gets complicated. So for me to go to the appraisal process, it gets complicated. It's nice to know that, obviously, depending on the size of the loss and how far the travel is and stuff like that, but at
Yeah.
least it's nice to know that I can just call you and I can just say, hey, I got this claim. Like, what do you think? Is this something that you want to go after?
Yeah,
Because I
definitely.
want to take this to appraisal.
That's what we're here to do. We're here to present
And
another.
it's called Nationwide Appraisal Group because I know that that's your intentions, right? Right? But what's the
Niggas
vision? What's the vision for the company? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Where do you see NWA in 10 years?
in many other states, and continuously expanding our reach. That's ultimately, Florida is kind of like the birthplace, so to speak. But there is, like you mentioned, there is work in all across the United States, whether it's a hurricane, an earthquake, a fire, a hailstorm, deep freeze in Dallas, whatever it may be. That is our goal, is to continue to learn and continue to push forward and expand our reach in the United States. And I think we're on the way to doing that.
Well, I recommend that everyone has not only an umpire list, but an appraiser list as well. I think that's very important. Something that we started creating also is that I never had before, but now we have an appraiser list.
Definitely.
Yeah, and you're going to want, if you have appraisers that you work with, that's totally fine, but you're going to want to at least have NWA in there just to like make sure that it's, you've got at least some other options as well. So they are the best, So, all right, bro. I
Appreciate
appreciate
that.
it, man.
Appreciate
Thank you for
that.
coming on.
Thank you for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
All right. See you later, guys. On to the next one.